but we have one. And we're taking our best and our brightest young men and women and plumbing them away in a war that they know has no chance of success. We can't even define success. We don't even know who the enemy is. Heck, we're busy arming the very people who tried to kill us. Now, it's one thing to do, as our administrations have done, like Reagan, and arm Osama bin Laden before we knew he was out to kill us. But to arm them after they've tried to kill us? The only people who get rich, of course, is the military-industrial complex. Kellogg Brown Root, Halliburton, all the president's friends, all the plutocracy. And they continue to get wealthy. Folks, I'm not going to get a chance to play the Gravel interview. It's about 15 minutes long. I'm going to save that for another day. So I hope you'll tune in next week. I do have a number of interviews that I still want to play from the Take Back America convention. All kinds of interesting interviews from political analysts, from economists, from people with some good inside knowledge on the Bush administration. And I will definitely get to that next week. So stay tuned to the Inside Scoop for that. Let me just close by reminding us what America is all about. That we are a system of checks and balances, a system whereby we do not have one man or two men, the two men in this case being Cheney and Rove, the two people controlling our government. We don't have two men in control of our government. That's not the way it's supposed to work. There's supposed to be checks and balances. My friends, the Constitution is not quaint. It is not an anachronism. Yes, it is 20 years old, but it's still alive. It can still be amended. And one thing I think we're going to have to do is amend the presidential pardon. We're going to have to pass an amendment, and I don't see why we can't get a bipartisan majority. This isn't about Democrats or Republicans. An amendment that says that if the person that is getting the pardon conspired with the president or the vice president of the United States to do a crime, the pardon is invalid, and a special prosecutor shall be appointed to determine whether or not that is true. An independent court shall look and see whether each pardon involves a conspiracy with the White House. Some would say farther. Some would say you just can't pardon anyone who's convicted of corruption while serving in the federal government. Cannot, if the crime involves an official act, sorry, no pardon. Look, when you decide to work for government, when you decide to take that power that is granted you, that extra power over the lives of your fellow citizens, you have to give up a little bit of your freedom. When I became a lawyer, they fingerprinted me. And I consented to it. I had to become a lawyer in California. Now, that's a little scary. If I go and rob a liquor store, they got my fingerprints. And if I commit a crime, even worse. Well, okay, fine. I'm a lawyer. I'm an officer of the court. I guess I just have to be careful and not commit crimes. Fine, I'll do that. Similarly, if you work for the federal government, my friends, you should be unpardonable. If you work for the federal government, you commit a crime, you serve your time. And if you're not willing to go that far, at least if you work for the executive branch of the federal government, under the president or the vice president, you shouldn't be pardoned for your crime. And I think we need a constitutional amendment to say just that. But you know what? James Madison was right. I must end where I opened. We don't need to amend the Constitution. There is a ready-made answer already there, my friends. And you know it as well as I do. Say it with me as we all say it together. Impeachment. That is the safety valve. That is the way out. That is the only hope for our republic. And hopefully the commutation of the sentence of Scooter Libby, the all-but pardon, the get-out-of-jail-free card will be seen just as the Saturday Night Massacre was to Richard Nixon, as a wake-up call to Americans all across the country to examine the lawlessness of this administration and to punish it. That's all for now. This is Mark Levine, signing off.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network. Listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
This is the Quality News Network. Israel today began releasing more than 250 Palestinian prisoners in a move aimed at strengthening the power base of Fatah leader Mahmoud Abbas. Abbas has called for early elections in a bid to wrest control of the territories from Hamas. The South Korean government says as many as 23 volunteer doctors and engineers, most of them women, working in Afghanistan, have been kidnapped by the Taliban. It is the largest contingent of foreigners to be abducted since the NATO invasion. In Baghdad, two more U.S. soldiers died yesterday. Three British soldiers were killed in Basra. The last military plane left Basra this morning on its way to Denmark. as part of a secret mission to evacuate Iraqis vulnerable because they have assisted Danish troops as interpreters and aides. Denmark pulls its troops out of Iraq next month. Despite threats of a presidential veto, a Senate committee has overwhelmingly approved a bipartisan bill beefing up federal funding for children's health insurance. Monies would be raised by increasing the federal excise tax on cigarettes by 61 cents a pack. The Washington Post reports FEMA has known since early 2006 the trailers provided Hurricanes Katrina and Rita victims contained toxic chemicals, 75% higher than considered safe. 120,000 families are housed in the trailers. Hundreds complain of illnesses. Memos show FEMA knew of the problems, but were warned not to limit liability. Firefighters throughout western states have taken advantage of a slightly cooler temperatures to bring hundreds of wildfires under control. The U.S. has raised its wildfire alert status to its highest level. A 4.1 magnitude earthquake struck San Francisco Bay Area this morning. No major damage or injuries reported. Also in San Francisco, a federal appeals court reprimanded the Veterans Administration for its treatment of Vietnam-era vets exposed to Agent Orange. The court ordered the VA to pay retroactive benefits to those who contracted leukemia as a result of exposure to the toxic defoliant. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are next.
It's not hard to find people in need. They're everywhere. And there's more than one kind of disaster that affects people's lives. There's AIDS and the millions of orphans the disease has left behind. There are teeming refugee camps, the result of war and persecution. Mary Knoll has been reaching out to the world's needy for nearly a century. Mary Knoll is there right now, in 40 countries around the world. And with your help, Mary Knoll will be there tomorrow. Call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARY-KNOLL. Or, for more information, go to www.mygiftcounts.org. One world, one mission, Mary Knoll.
Spanish researchers say a parasite devastating Asian bees is also devastating honeybees in Europe and the Americas. Scientists are alarmed at the dramatic disappearance of honeybees, which are critical for pollinating crops. U.S. scientists predict 75% of Americans will be overweight by the year 2015. 41% of those adults and 24% of children will be obese. A House panel has approved legislation requiring meats be labeled with their country of origin. The move is seen as a reaction to this year's spate of contaminated foodstuffs from China. China Today announced it had shut down several companies involved in the export of tainted products. Authorities promised to improve inspections and increase product testing. The final installment of the Harry Potter series is released in the U.S. tonight at midnight. The books and subsequent movies have made British author J.K. Rowling wealthier than the Queen of England. Both the Dow and the S&P 500 set record closings yesterday, inspired by a series of upbeat earnings reports. Light sweet crude is trading at $75.83 a barrel. And on Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is down 57 points at 13,943. The NASDAQ is down 10. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
This is a top to a, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most
11,
of the
and
amps 11. Go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you're going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is, if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
Well, all right, everybody. Welcome aboard Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. John Fox coming to you from Sydney, Australia, or at least what's still going to be standing of it at the moment, because I tell you what, there is one hell of a storm on the way in here. So if I happen to disappear, you'll know why. It's not a cyclone, but the winds on the way are equivalent to a Category 2 cyclone. Getting ready to smack Sydney. I'm watching the radar images right now. It's already hit Wollongong. It's going to be coming up through our area overnight. I have a feeling during this program you might end up starting to hear the rain through my microphone if it really starts hammering the tin roof on the shed out the back. This could be an interesting day. You might be sitting there going, you might hear me say, Noah, where's the ark? But I have both my cats, one male and one female, inside. They're safe and sound. I tell you what, for a country that's been in a drought, we are getting smacked with the rain just unbelievable. It's been raining for almost 3 weeks here, which has been really great for the aquifers and the dams and all. However, because we've had no rain for almost six years, it's flash flood central. Wollongong has gotten hammered really badly over the last couple of weeks. Incredible amounts of damage there. And, you know, this could be a sign of what is to come. More erratic weather and within a drought than sudden incredible rainfall. And it's going to be huge. I spent the afternoon today just going and which is your yesterday for most of you, getting everything in our backyard either stowed away or strapped down. All the garden furniture into the shed, all the loose plants into the shed. It could get a little wild. I mean, we're supposed to be getting winds of upwards of 125 kilometers an hour. So we're talking, 80 mile an hour winds. It could get a bit interesting. So, hopefully the old roof on this place will stay on tight. But I'm not too worried about us here. Thankfully, the house that we live in is not actually sitting right on like a concrete slab. It's actually raised up like a good 18 inches at its lowest. So we're all good. I'm probably a good meter off of the ground in my little studio here. And so it's gonna be interesting. like I said, I keep watching the satellite images.
for those of you in the States, I'd give you the web address to look at our local radar, but I realize that it's blocked outside of Australia, which is unfortunate. It could get kind of fun. Have I got some stuff to do? But first of all, before I go any further, big congratulations to our good friend Peel for his debut last night. I do believe that must be the most successful launch of a new program in Horn history. I have never seen the chat room go off like that since we've been doing this thing. And it was great fun last night, and it was fantastic. And if that's the first go, just imagine what that show is going to develop into. And Mark Levine's appearance last night was just fantastic. And the callers were lined up around the block, and most of them were straight. Did you expect that, Peter? Anyway, major story today. The Independent's top headline, and I'll start. I won't actually get into reading this when we get back, but the headline at the Independent right now, the top headline: "The Earth Today Stands in Imminent Peril." And nothing short of a planetary rescue will save it from the environmental cataclysm of dangerous climate change. Those are not the words of eco-warriors, but the considered opinion of a group of eminent scientists writing in a peer-reviewed scientific journal. And they take the IPCC to task for softening the blow a bit, even though they have come out with some pretty strong statements. You know, many environmental organizations were very critical of the last IPCC report, even though they thought, you know, things were good. You know, it was a good report. They still said it was pulling punches, unfortunately. So, you know, but we'll get into that after we come back from the break. I've got some Google's got some really interesting things going on. I mean, I know Google is like our such a friend on the net, but yet our nemesis because of the personal information. But they're doing some really, really interesting things when it comes to global warming, their carbon footprint, and we'll get into all that as well. And today's track of the day is very apropos for this Independent story. We're going to do a little track from Chris Cornell called "Preaching the World." And if you're not familiar with Chris Cornell's first solo record that he did at the eyes of Soundgarden before Audioslave, you're missing a treat. It's a phenomenal record. It has that bit of a sound of a guy of, I just lost my band of 20 years. Here I have kind of a contractual obligation album, and I'm not sure what direction I want to go. And it kind of goes all over the place, but it's a really, really wonderful record, and it's a really great showcase of one of the greatest rock and roll voices in history, in my mind. So, anyway, we're going to head out to our first break. And when we come back, I'll start getting into this Independent piece, and we got just heaps to do today. So, stick around. You're listening to the Head On Radio Network. This is Foxed Up, and where we do the green thing. And I haven't been doing that much green stuff lately because I've been doing constitutional stuff. But we're going to get back. We're going to get back to basics, back to what the show is really about. So, stick around. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice, the Head On Radio Network, and we will be right back after this.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claud, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. You're welcome. one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Polar bears live in the Arctic, on the ice.
But the ice is melting because of global warming.
Some polar bears have to swim so far they drown. Baby bears have died.
When I'm old, when I'm 45, all the bears could be gone.
Grown-ups should do something.
If you're a grown-up, go to polarbearsos.org now. You can make sure polar bears are protected under the Endangered Species Act.
Please help them.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is Billy Shears. Join us this Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Fox Talk with John Fox. We'll take a look at the tragic death of the Rolling Stones founder, Brian Jones. Was it an accident? A suicide? Or was there just something more to it?
He started pleading. Oh, come on, you know, come on, let me go, will you?
It's not a case that was investigated as a possible homicide.
We did not mean to kill him.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And, you know, I keep saying that things are, you know, it's a dodgy situation with the old environment. And that, you know, none of us who focus on this issue want to be, you know, doomsdayers. But, you know, for years we've been, you know, trying to tell people, and long before I got up to speed on this subject in the last few years, you know, have been telling people, you know, things are going on, and we're now getting to the point where it's getting to be a bit, you know, it's getting to be a bit scary. And so this piece here at The Independent, telling you, this is blood-curdling stuff. Hold on to your hats. Six scientists from some of the leading scientific institutions in the United States have issued what amounts to an ambiguous warning to the world. Civilization itself is threatened by global warming. They also implicitly criticize the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change for underestimating the scale of sea level rises this century as a result of melting glaciers and polar ice sheets. Instead of sea levels rising by about 40 centimeters, as the IPCC predicts in one of its computer forecasts, the true rise might be as great as several meters by the year 2100. That is why they say planet Earth today is in imminent peril. Now these aren't activists. These aren't people like myself who get on radio and scream and shout and say, you know, wake up. These are the people that try and use the reserved, you know, non-biased language, you know, trying to be all facts, actually getting emotional about the message because they're starting to get to the point where they're feeling the need for the baseball bat to ram the message home, you know, the metaphorical baseball bat or cricket bat. In a densely referenced scientific paper published in the Philosophical Transactions of the Royal Society, some of the world's leading climate researchers describe in detail why they believe that humanity can no longer afford to ignore the gravest threat of climate change. Recent greenhouse gas emissions place the Earth perilously close to dramatic climate change that could run out of control, with great dangers for humans and other creatures. But only intense efforts to curb man-made emissions of carbon dioxide emissions and other greenhouse gases can keep the climate within or near the range of the past 1 million years, they said. 1 million years! And we've done this in, you know, a century and a little more. The other scientists were Makiko Sato, Pushkar Karicha, and Gary Russell, also of the Goddard Institute, David Lee of the University of California, Santa Barbara, and Mark Sadal of Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory at Columbus University in New York. In their 29-page paper, Climate Change and Trace Gases, the scientists frequently stray from the non-emotional language of science to emphasize the scale of the problems and dangers posed by climate change. Like I said, they're getting to the point where they're getting emotional about it. In an email to The Independent, Dr. Hansen said, "In my opinion, among our papers, this one probably does the best job of making clear that the Earth is getting perilously close to climate changes that could run out of our control." Hey. The unnatural forcing of the climate as a result of man-made emissions of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases threatens to generate a flip in the climate that could spark a cataclysm in the massive ice sheets of Antarctica and Greenland, the scientists write. Dramatic flips in the climate have occurred in the past, but none have happened since the development of complex human societies and civilization, which are unlikely to survive the same sort of environmental changes if they occurred now. You getting scared yet? There's a link to this on today's show post. Please email this to every one of your representatives, to every media host that you know, to every personality that you know, to every blogger that you know. This, I'm telling you, I've been getting more and more upset and emotional about this subject in recent times because I'm getting really, really worried that we've pushed things past the point. And I've talked about the feedback loops where these cycles start to feed unto themselves and they start to kind of, you know, they accelerate in just dramatic fashion. It continues on. I think we won't get to the track of the day till the next segment. I really want to finish this whole thing. I think it's just that crucial. And then you need to go back and read it again, and you need to go and send it everywhere. Civilization developed and constructed extensive infrastructure during a period of unusual climate stability. The Holocene. That is the current span of time in which human society has developed. Now, almost 12,000 years in duration, that period is about to end. The scientists warn humanity cannot afford to burn the Earth's remaining underground reserves of fossil fuel. To do so would guarantee dramatic climate change, yielding a different planet from the one which civilization developed and for which extensive physical infrastructure has been built, they say. Dr. Hansen said we have about 10 years to put into effect the draconian measures needed to curb CO2 emissions quickly enough to avert a dangerous rise in global temperature. Otherwise, the extra heat could trigger the rapid melting of polar ice sheets, made far worse by the albedo flip. When the sunlight reflected by white ice is suddenly absorbed as ice melts to become the dark surface of open water. This is one of those feedback loops that I keep talking about. The glaciers and ice sheets of Greenland in the northern hemisphere and the western Antarctic ice sheets in the south both show signs of rapid changes predicted with rising temperatures. The albedo flip property of ice and water provides a trigger mechanism. If the trigger mechanism is engaged long enough, multiple dynamical feedbacks will cause ice sheet collapse. The scientists say, we argue that the required persistence for this trigger mechanism is at most a century, probably less. The latest assessment of the IPCC published earlier this year predicts little or no contribution to the 21st century sea levels from Greenland or Antarctica. But the six scientists dispute this interpretation. The IPCC analysis and projections do not well account for the nonlinear physics of wet ice sheet disintegration, ice streams and eroding ice shelves, nor are they consistent with the paleoclimatic evidence that we have presented for the absence of discernible lag between ice sheet forcing and sea level rise, the scientists say. Now, ice sheet forcing is that kind of is where you see the ice sheets actually moving across the land masses that they reside on, and they're accelerating. They've been accelerating at an alarming rate. Their study looked back over more than 400,000 years of climate records from deep ice cores and found evidence to suggest that rapid climate change over a period of centuries or even decades have in the past occurred once the world began to heat up and ice sheets started melting. It is not possible to assess the dangerous levels of man-made greenhouse gases. However, it is much lower than has commonly been assumed. If we have not passed the dangerous level, the energy infrastructure in place ensures we will pass it within several decades, the scientists say in their findings. We conclude that a feasible strategy for planet rescue almost surely requires a means of extracting greenhouse gases from the air. And this is the first time I have ever heard this kind of language. Absolutely the first time I have ever heard them say we got to start pulling it out of the atmosphere. All right. I'm told that we have a caller on the line, but Agnes, just hold on to Ben there for a minute. Why don't we go ahead and take our bottom of the hour break, and we'll take Ben as soon as we come back. So we're going to take this break, and we're going to come back and go straight to the phones, and because that's the whole article, people. We need to get this out. We need to get this out. It's getting to be, it's beyond crucial. This is the issue, the challenge of our day, without doubt. Stick around, folks. When we come back, we're going to go straight to the phone lines. You're listening to Foxed Up here on America's Liberal Voice, the Head On Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Stay and change.
is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is Billy Shears. Join us this Friday on Foxed Up with John Fox at his new time, 10 a.m. Eastern.
People, let me tell you about my best friend. He's a warm-hearted person who loves me till the end.
We'll take a look at two famous recording artists that mocked the Smothers Brothers on stage after too much to drink. And you'll never guess what one of them had on his head. And it wasn't a lampshade. Tune in to Foxed Up this Friday at the new time, 10 a.m. Eastern, with John Fox at the Head On Radio Network, The Horn. This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to The Horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Recently on The Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, and we're going to go straight to the phones, because the one, the only, the hardest working man in progressive and liberal radio, Mr. Ben Burch, is on the line, and welcome aboard, Ben. Good to talk to you.
Hey there. You know, the albedo flip when you go to dark water or dark earth, that's something we've known would happen for a long time. But what I've been, I started harping on this in the 80s, early 80s, with my friends who were climate scientists, and finally some of them seem to have come around to realizing it's true. You know what happens to city snow, right? You get a bank of snow, and it gets splashed on one side with all the dark junk, the tire dust, the other stuff from the street, and that side rots away immediately. The white side, the side by the sidewalk, that takes longer to melt, but the street side, that melts right away. And the reason is all of the black carbon on it. As soon as you get black carbon mixed in with snow, and it starts to melt, the melt goes away, but the black carbon forms a rime on the surface of lower albedo, and the snow pile rots away really fast. Because it absorbs all that heat at its surface rather than having the light penetrate down into the ice crystals and reflect back out into space where it normally does.
And the other thing too is the fact that, you know, we've been hearing a lot more about this, but it's also the fact that it is definitely one of these feedback loop things.
Oh yeah,
that we're starting to see more for.
The industrial snow that has been put down since the 1830s, okay, the huge plumes of, you know, starting with Manchester and Sheffield and all the big steel mills in England, and then, you know, Pittsburgh and Detroit and Gary, and we put an amazing amount of black carbon in the air, between about 1850 and, you know, practically into the 1970s with all of our steel production and industrial plants that burn coal. And now China is doing the same thing. And all of that stuff has formed layers of somewhat dirty snow. Now, as that new snow on top of the glacier begins to melt, you get this rime of darker carbon that's going to form. And although it is not nearly as profound as like a New York City snowdrift, it will darken the snow to an alarming degree and enhance the melt, such that I personally expect to see Greenland free of ice in 40 years.
And there have been some models that are even slightly more dire than that. The data about the fact that the ice sheets, the way that they're moving, has been accelerating. Because of the fact that as things heat up between the landmass and the ice, you end up with molten water, which acts like oil.
Water is one of the best lubricants you can name. If you can tolerate the chance of corrosion, that's one of the best things to use a flotation bearing, not oil. Because oil's going to burn if the bearing gets hot. Water's just going to evaporate.
I find it interesting that we have this report that's come out from the scientists where I get the impression that they're hitting that point losing the point of being able to hold the emotion back. They're showing signs of, desperation.
I've been dealing with this since the 1970s because I was on this bandwagon way long ago when I realized what was going to happen. And the thing that showed me what was going to happen was a book called Limits to Growth by the Club of Rome. And, yeah, I know people think there's some kind of weird conspiracy theory guys there. But their models were good. And the models show a collapse in the 21st century, and we have to do something.
Absolutely, and this is the first time that I've actually heard in one of these reports where they're actually saying we need draconian measures. I've been saying this for a while. It's gonna hurt. The changes that we're gonna have to make are going to hurt, but the sooner we take on the pain, the less, the better it's going to be, because the longer we wait, the more painful it's going to be, and there's going to be a point where there's really not going to be anything we're going to be able to do about it, because the switch is going to be flipped.
Well, there are things we can do. They're very draconian. They'll require most of us to live in poverty for a few centuries while we fix things. But yeah, it's still possible. One thing we're doing now, right now we're capturing CO2 out of the air and then putting it right back. If you've ever seen a plant where they make liquid nitrogen, they've got these huge towers. And what those towers do is they fractionally distill liquid air. You refrigerate air with a multi-stage compressor until you've got a composite gas, liquid air. And in that composite gas is liquid argon and liquid nitrogen and liquid xenon and liquid oxygen, and you fractionally distill out those portions okay? So you cap off the things you want. And what's left at the end of the process are all the gases that you really don't want out of the process. And one of them is carbon dioxide, because carbon dioxide is actually much, much, much cheaper to make via chemical processes and usually isn't taken out of the air to make the CO2 for soft drinks. It's actually manufactured. We actually make new carbon dioxide to carbonate soft drinks. But the carbon dioxide that comes out of this process at the end, although not pure enough to use in foodstuffs, is pure enough to save and pump down a mine and keep it sequestered, because it's carbon dioxide you've removed from the air and you've already paid the price for.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, you know, sequestration is, unfortunately, it's still something that we haven't really seen done in any usable form, at least that I've been able to find yet.
It's proposed, but never done. And here we have something where we are actually paying a considerable amount of energy to remove carbon dioxide from the air, and then we're dealing with it as a waste product and putting it right back. So I think that the number of tons of carbon dioxide there, the effluent from this process, it's a very high number, because we use a tremendous amount of liquid nitrogen.
It's one of these things that becomes it can seem so overwhelming, but this is where I seriously think we need Al Gore.
Amen, my friend. Anyways, I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for that, Ben. That was fantastic. Thank you so much for that.
Hey,
take it easy, man, and the Ben Birch, the one, the only Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. You got to go over there and do the right thing. Okay, we're running a little bit late, but we're going to do the track of the day right now, and we're just going to kind of go almost straight into it, just because of this story. And I love this album, and one of the many people that also just absolutely adored Jeff Buckley, who you all seemed to really dig last week. Preaching the End of the World off of a wonderful album called Euphoria Morning. Without further ado, Agnes, roll it.
Now I know there's someone out there who can understand and who's feeling the same way as me. I'm 24 and I've got everything to live for, but I know now that it wasn't meant to be. So it's been lost and all has been won, and there's nothing left for us to say. But now I know that if you find that you've been feeling just the same, come in now, it's alright. It's just the end of the world. You'll need a friend in the world, 'cause you can't hide. So come now, get right back. If your intentions are pure, seeking a friend for the end of the world.
This is Bill O'Brien with a message that pretty much defines Concord University. It's from Emily Dickinson. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any coursers like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without oppressive toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. Respect for learning, a mission to deliver education that touches souls, consideration to what students can afford, career rewards that pay dividends far beyond the dollars earned. At Concord, we've never crossed that important line between the business of education and education as a business. The first is extremely serious. It changes lives and connects with the moral and the spiritual. We're good at that. The second is no less serious. It raises ethical concerns, however. We avoid that. Concord University, the frugal chariot that bears human souls. Call the Concord Admissions Office, 1-888-384-5249.
What's a conversation like on Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is what it's like.
Let's talk to our good friend Phil down in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob. Good to hear you, too. I want to remind people that the military take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And when people say they're fighting for our freedom by defending the Constitution, which defines our freedoms and supposedly is there to protect them, that's what it really means. Not doing whatever this outrageous civilian leadership dictates that it does.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Conversation at its finest. Weeknights, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only at Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or a...
This is the Quality News Network. Israel today began releasing more than 250 Palestinian prisoners in a move aimed at strengthening the power base of Fatah leader Mahmoud Abbas. Abbas has called for early elections in a bid to wrest control of the territories from Hamas. The South Korean government says as many as 23 volunteer doctors and engineers, most of them women, working in Afghanistan, have been kidnapped by the Taliban. It is the largest contingent of foreigners to be abducted since the NATO invasion. In Baghdad, two more U.S. soldiers died yesterday. Three British soldiers were killed in Basra. The last military plane left Basra this morning on its way to Denmark as part of a secret mission to evacuate Iraqis vulnerable because they have assisted Danish troops as interpreters and aides. Denmark pulls its troops out of Iraq next month. Despite threats of a presidential veto, a Senate committee has overwhelmingly approved a bipartisan bill beefing up federal funding for children's health insurance. Monies would be raised by increasing the federal excise tax on cigarettes by 61 cents a pack. The Washington Post reports FEMA has known since early 2006 the trailers provided Hurricanes Katrina and Rita victims contained toxic chemicals, 75% higher than considered safe. 120,000 families are housed in the trailers. Hundreds complain of illnesses. Memos show FEMA knew of the problems, but were warned not to limit liability. Firefighters throughout western states have taken advantage of the slightly cooler temperatures to bring hundreds of wildfires under control. The U.S. has raised its wildfire alert status to its highest level. A 4.1 magnitude earthquake struck San Francisco Bay Area this morning. No major damage or injuries reported. Also in San Francisco, a federal appeals court reprimanded the Veterans Administration for its treatment of Vietnam-era vets exposed to Agent Orange.